Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of 1 Thessalonians with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, starting in verse 17, ending in verse 18, where we see that before we come to Christ, we live to please ourselves. But when we are alive in Christ, we are now seeking God's will for our lives. In today's text, we see how to discern and know God's voice and how to be a discerner of spirits in our endeavor to live for Jesus. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 17.
Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden, note takers, of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Stop right there for a second. They were forbidden of the Holy Spirit. They were stopped by the Holy Spirit to go and preach the word in Asia. Now, that's a tricky thing. You would think that this is Satan, wouldn't you? I'm going to preach the word of God. I'm going to spread the love of Jesus Christ. How could God not want me to do this? This must be an attack of Satan. However, Dr. Luke says here, no. This was the Spirit of God forbidding Paul versus Satan who was getting in the way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are you seeing this? The Spirit of God and Satan are sort of doing similar works, aren't they? But with different motives. And this is why it gets confusing, because you guys, and I'm going to apply this in a minute. I'm not going to just keep talking to Paul. I'm going to bring it to real life application for you in a minute. But if you're seeking to live for Jesus, sometimes, man, it's hard to know. What's the Lord and what's the enemy? And how do I know? How do I figure this out? Well, you got to stay tuned for a few more minutes. Notice what it says here in verse 7. So when they were forbidden to go and preach the word in Asia, they were come to Mysia, verse 7, and they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Greek renders the text, the Spirit of Jesus Christ suffered them not. He said, no, that's not where I want you to go. So they passed by Mysia, and they came down to Troas, and a vision, verse 9, appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia, and he prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So verse 10, after he had seen the vision, immediately he says, we endeavored, or we mapped out our trip to go to Macedonia, assuredly gathering notice that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Now what's in Macedonia? Thessalonica. And that is how the church of the Thessalonians is built. So God says no to Asia. God says no to those other places that they were planning to go. But I want you to go to Europe and bring the gospel to Europe. They get to Europe. They bring the gospel to Europe. We find them in Philippi. We find them in Thessalonica. We find them in Berea. We find them in Corinth. We find them bringing the gospel specifically to Macedonia and Greece. They get there. Paul has to leave. He's driven from persecution. And from Corinth, he says, I want to come back to you, but now Satan's hindering me. I can't get to you because now Satan is breaking up the road. Now Satan is pushing me off the track. It's not the Spirit of God this time, it's Satan. Now I'm reading this text this week, trying to figure out how far to go with you guys on Sunday, and I'm thinking, how in the world do I just zip and by this? This is an issue for you and I as Christians. We're seeing, who do I get married to? Do I marry this person or don't I marry this person? Is Jesus leading me to, or is Satan leading me to because he knows it will destroy me in the ministry? Is this from God? Is it not from God? Do I take this job or don't I take this job? Do I serve in this ministry or don't I serve in this ministry? I got life decisions. Do I move here or don't I move here? Right? Can you relate to some of these things? What do I do? Just, God, how many children do I have? If you have four, stop. But I'm just saying, we can be in these situations where we're trying to hear from the will of God, and Paul's not dealing with sin here. Paul's dealing with spreading the word of Jesus Christ. So what do we do in this life to understand God what's from you and God what's not? Here's the answer. I don't know. I'm serious. I don't fully know sometimes. I'll suggest some things to you. I've written down five things to present to you that come to my mind, but I'm sitting on my couch yesterday with my laptop studying for this. And my wife comes down, we're talking, I'm starting to give her like a summary of where I'm going with today's message. And she's like, wow, that sounds really good. I said, yeah, babe, here's the only problem though. I don't know the answer. And she starts laughing. I'm like, no, I'm dead serious. I don't fully know the answer. This is tricky. So I got before the Lord and I just was spending time with him. I just stood in his presence and I felt like he gave me five things that could be helpful. I'm not emphatic on them. I just know that they have worked for me. The first of the five is this, hindsight. Hindsight is how you determine what was Jesus and what was Satan. Wouldn't you sort of agree? I mean, unfortunately, hindsight isn't in front of us. It's behind us. But to look back and say that was the Lord or that was Satan. In my endeavor to please God, hindsight. Here's what I'm trying to say. Had Paul gone to Thessalonica, you and I would never have 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. And how much 1st and 2nd Thessalonians has profited the church? So Paul has reached millions, billions of Thessalonians in his endeavor to go to Thessalonica and being stopped. So I believe hindsight. Paul propagated the gospel so much greater in his letter writing than he would have in his physical going. Makes sense to you and I now looking back, but Paul didn't have that privilege. But do you see what I'm trying to say? In our walk with Jesus, we can look back and say, oh, now it makes sense, Lord. You didn't let me go, so I would write these letters, and the letters blew up. They were part of the scripture, and everybody got saved and read about your second coming through them. Thank you, Jesus. So sometimes, though, we don't like hindsight because we want to know right now. I know what I want, and I want it now, right? But hindsight is a major way to determine for you and I how to know what exactly is God's will or coming from Satan. Does it further the gospel? Does it build his kingdom in greater ways than I can fathom? So that's a way. That's a way to write down at least to use in your life in review, in retrospect at least, at the very minimum. The second way that I would suggest to you, and I think that this is very practical, is the open door / shut door policy. Jesus said, I open doors that no man can close, and I close doors that no man can open. Now, listen, please. When Jesus opens a door and Satan hinders you, he breaks up the road, he puts up obstacles, it doesn't mean he's saying no. It could just mean you need to recalculate. You know what I'm talking about? You ever drive in, Siri's giving you directions or your GPS? You take a wrong turn, and the stupid thing starts saying, recalculate, recalculate, reroute, reroute, reroute. You want to just throw that thing out the window at that point. Sometimes, not because of God, but ourselves, in our quest to please the Lord, we take a wrong turn, don't we? And it doesn't mean that we're out of the will of God, per se, fully. It doesn't mean that he's going to just say, okay, I'm done with you here, and we're not going to do this plan. It just means he has to reroute you because you mess things up. The door's still open. Or the enemy may be hindered and got in the way, but he's going to reroute you and he's going to fulfill his purposes. Did Paul ever go back to Thessalonica? Yes. So did God want him to eventually go to Thessalonica? Yes. It just wasn't the right time, and as a result, these letters were birthed. So it was the will of God for him to go. That's how he was able to know. This is Satan hindering me from getting there right now. When you are seeking to please Jesus, when you are seeking to please Jesus, and you are living to carry out and fulfill his will for your life, a great way that you will know if this is Satan or if this is God is how, this is how, if the door isn't completely shut. When God says no, he's not maybe no, maybe yes. That's me as a parent. I am the most wishy-washy, softy parent ever. My kids can convince me of anything, especially Olivia, because I tell her something and she does not take no for an answer. I tell her, no, you can't have a freeze pop yesterday afternoon because they're not frozen yet. I just put them in the freezer a half hour ago. She says, yeah, but at least we could just drink it because we need sugar because we've been out in the sun and we're hot. And I said, that's a good point. I guess you're right. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that, you know. And I said, Shauna, what do you think, you know? And Mom, is it okay? I'm afraid of you. And, you know, and she'll say, you know, no, it's just all sugar water, and I don't understand the difference because Olivia's making a great case. What's the difference if it's frozen or if it's, and by that point, it's like, honey, okay, eat the whole pack. I don't care. Just leave me alone. And sometimes with this open, closed door thing, we need to understand when the door is closed, God is not sitting on the other side thinking, maybe I'll open it. I'm not sure that was the right call there. You ever do that as a parent? I do that. Sometimes I say no before I think what I'm saying no to. I just say no because I can't think. No. Well, why can't I go to the bathroom? Oh, I guess you can. I'm sorry. You know. Just no. Shut up. Leave me alone for a second. God isn't that way. When God says no, when God closes the door and says, you're not going to Thessalonica, he means it. Or you're not going to Asia, he means it. Or you're not going to Galatia, he means it. When God says no to you about a person you're marrying, or a job that you're to take, or a ministry to sign up for, it's over. Let it go until he either reopens it or reroutes you. Are you with me? This is a way to know what's going on. Because in your endeavor to serve Jesus and live for Jesus, Satan's not going to just stand there and let the road be smooth. He's not going to just stand there and tell the minions and his demons just to hang back and let you do your thing because you're worthy of that. They're going to do everything they can to disrupt you, to hinder you, especially when it's furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you either need to get it together and recheck in God and see how you're going to go around this thing or even through this thing, or you need to say, okay, God, you shut the door here. Let's go elsewhere. Amen? So open door, closed door. That's a big one for me in my own life. Here's another really important one. Are you ready? The third here is there grace sufficient to carry on? Is there grace sufficient to carry on? Let me explain to you what I mean. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, said that he had a thorn in his flesh. You heard about it before? Remember, he asked the Lord to remove it three times. What was God's answer? No, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for you, Paul, even though the road is broken up. Even though the road isn't smooth, even though there's roadblocks or you're getting pushed down on the track, even though these things are happening, I want you to carry on. Reason, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is what's going to propel you. My grace is what's going to enable you. It's not your strength, it's my strength. And I'm going to give you such an amount of it that you're going to be able to get up and keep going even though you're beat up. I think his thorn in the flesh with it was his eye vision. I think that he couldn't see. I think he had a disease which caused him to be super goopy and disgusting in appearance based on many of reasons, history primarily, but also he writes in his letter to Galatians. And I think that he really struggled with this thing as an author of the New Testament. And he legitimately asked God, God, remove this thing. And God says, no, you'll be lifted up in pride. You've gotten too many revelations and insights, and you're the chief enemy of Satan. I mean, I have used you, but my grace will be sufficient for you. See, for me, when I'm trying to do the will of God, somebody last night, I was outside taking my dog to the bathroom, and I had two neighbor ladies stop by my house, and I'm out there taking the dog, and it's one of those where it's dinner time, and I'm trying not to make eye contact with them because I know Shauna's making dinner, and I want to go in the house and make dinner. I don't want to talk to my neighbors at that time. I'm getting hangry at that moment, and as I'm out there with the dog, all of a sudden, they say, oh, Pastor Dave. Well, and they pull the Pastor Dave card. What am I going to do? Say, hey, I'm hungry. Leave me alone. I mean, it's kind of a bad representation of Jesus and you guys, so I didn't do that. I was like, yeah, what's going on, you know? And I start talking to them, and they start talking to me, and the one lady says to me, I just don't know how you do it. I just don't know how you're a pastor of a church that is growing. She goes to church across the street. She says, I see the attendance there. I see the cars there. I see what God's doing on Wednesday evenings. I can't believe it. I'll come to mow the lawn or I'll come to do work. She's a deaconess at the church. She says, and I'll see all these cars on a Wednesday night. She goes, how do you balance church and four small children and a wife and a home and everything else? And my answer was this, the grace of God. The grace of God is there because the calling of God is there. So despite the broken up roads, the obstacles, the trials and the tribulations that come mine and Shauna's way, and they do, we just press on because the grace of God is giving us what we need to endure. Now, when the grace of God is lifted from a person, that's an indication that the season of ministry or the season of life is over. Are you with me? When you say, I just don't have the grace anymore, that then means this, God isn't feeding it to you for a reason. It's lifted. It's over. If the grace of God isn't there to do something, it's done. Because I'm not going to do anything for God in the flesh. He doesn't honor that. So if the grace of God is lifted from my life to show up to church early after I had a few children now, I used to serve in the church and now I had a few children, my husband's working and I can't get there in time, I just don't have the grace. Before it was easy, now it's not easy. Hang on, stop right there. The Spirit of the Lord is not the author of confusion, he's the author of peace. The Spirit of the Lord gives you grace to endure tough things. When that grace is lifted and now there's frustration and aggravation, Jesus is no longer in what he once called you to do. And what's beautiful about this is it keeps us checking in with him. It keeps us checking in with him. Is it a reroute thing, God, or is it a keep driving thing? Amen? So is the grace there or isn't the grace there? I can go a long time on that one. It's important to understand, even in your marriage. When you get married to somebody, listen, nobody is perfect except for Shauna. It's just the way it goes. Nobody. You're just not going to find a perfect gal, guys. And you're not going to find a perfect guy, gals, apart from Jesus Christ. So what happens, even in marriage, this is just very practical. God, do I marry them or don't I? Well, do you have the grace to overlook their flaws? Because they have flaws. Do you have the grace to deal with it? My wife has the grace to deal with me. Pray for her. But she does. She's like my shrink. She's my psychiatrist. She puts me in my place all the time lovingly and graciously because I'm a baby, and if she doesn't, I'll cry. It's the truth. She has the grace for me, and I have the grace for her. Three falls, maybe, that she has. And you overlook these things, and you dwell each other, the team that you serve in ministry with. The guys that I serve with, and definitely myself, we are far from perfect. But because Jesus has called us to serve together, he's graced us to love each other despite each other. And we serve Jesus together. The church you go to, the pastor that you go to the church of, if it's here, is not perfect. I'm not flawless. I'm not inerrant by any means. But Jesus gives you a love for me in this church if you go here, where you're able to just have grace for those things that maybe aren't perfect, because there's no perfect church or pastor. Do you see what I'm trying to say? The ministry that you serve in, the children's ministry, the cafe ministry, the toddler nursery ministry, whatever ministry, the worship ministry you serve in, the usher's ministry, you're going to serve under somebody who isn't perfect, and you're going to serve with people who aren't perfect. But the grace is there to serve with them because Jesus called you to it. If the grace of God is with you, that's a sign that God's will is upon you. But if the grace of God is lifted from your life, that might mean that God is calling you to just move on and do something different. Fourthly, here on our list this morning, and I really believe strongly in this, although many people get tripped up, is confirmation through the Word of God. Paul, last week, we spent a major time talking about how the Word of God works. You remember? The Word of God continuously, effectuously works in the believer when they give place to it, when they receive it, not just audibly, but when they receive it internally, as their guide, as their roadmap to this life. The Word of God. The Lord will speak to you and direct you through his word. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, the psalmist says in Psalm 119. His word and everything in it and his promises are yes and amen. There's no confusion in his word. And when you're seeking to be in the will of God, he will use his word to reveal to you if something is of him or if something is not of him. You can't really fully know the will of God apart from the word of God. I'm convinced. Whether it be here at Bible study, whether it be in your car on the radio, CD, podcast, live stream, whatever it would be, your own personal devotion, that is primarily, Christian, how God is going to speak to you, through the Word of God. He is going to confirm things in your life through the Word of God. Paul leaned on the Word of God to know the will of God. The Word of God coupled with the Spirit of God is what brings the will of God to pass in your life. And so we have that found here in our letter. And last but not least, because of time, we will close with this one, peace. Paul said in Colossians 3:15, he said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. If you've been coming here, you've heard me say it many a times. The word rule there is umpire. Let the peace of God call balls and strikes in your life. Let the peace of God call things safe and out in your life. Is there peace? Much like grace, do you have peace? Do you have a peace that passes all understanding in your circumstances, where even though not everything makes sense, even though, you know, it seems like God would want you to go to Asia to bring the gospel, but he's telling you no, you have a peace to know, okay, he said no. Or do you have a check, as Christians say, in your spirit? You're just not settled. Do you know that God governs his people by this? When I don't have a peace about something, I don't move. If I have other things even, I still don't move. If I don't have a peace that comes from God that is divine, that overrides my anxieties, that overrides my complexities, that overrides my uncertainties. If I don't have the peace of God on an issue, even if other people tell me that I should, if I don't, it's my internal compass. I'm not acting. But when I have the peace of God, I'm like a steam train. Watch out. I'm going. Even if you tell me that I'm wrong. Now, let me say something on this before I close. The peace of God will never be conflicting with the Word of God. God is not going to give you peace to date an unbeliever because you're doing missionary dating now. You're going to date that person to get that person saved, and then you're going to marry him. God will never give you peace for that. God will never give you peace to cheat on your taxes, business owners, because woe is you, the IRS rapes you, it rips you off, it steals from you, and you deserve to have that money that you worked for. And so if I just lie a little bit about what I'm bringing, no, there's no peace of God there. It goes against the Word of God. There's no peace of God to do sin. There's no peace of God to do things that deliberately contradict what the Word of God says. The Word of God is inerrant, the Word of God is inspired, and the Word of God is complete. The Word of God is everything we need for in this life. The peace of God comes alongside of it. And if you don't have the peace of God in your life on an issue, then I would say that you should at the very least just stop and wait for Him to either give you peace or remove His peace before you do the next thing. Amen? Learning to be discerning of spirits. We need to if we're going to be pleasing to God. We need to learn to be discerning in our walk with Jesus. Jesus, is this coming from you or isn't it? Here's what's going to happen if you do that. Worship team, you could come. Here's what's going to happen. You're going to be constantly checking in with your God. You're going to be constantly praying. You're going to be constantly in His Word. You are going to be conscious of the Lord and His hand in your life. It's good. It's a healthy agitation. It's a healthy stirring up. It keeps you right where you need to be. We really need a short leash in this life, don't we? We really can't afford much slack. We really can't handle it. We don't do very well when we're left to ourselves trying to figure things out. We mess up. We hurt people. We just act stupidly. We act foolishly. We need to be governed very closely by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Learning to be discerning of spirits and even self. Jesus, what is from you and what isn't? Amen? So I'd invite you to stand with me if you want me to pray for you. Pray with you and myself that Jesus would increase this gift in the body here, but also increase this gift in our lives. I know I want it raising children. At the very least, forget even being a pastor. I want discernment to just raise my children, know how to handle them, to know how to speak to them, to know how to tell when they're telling the truth, to know what they've been up to, know what they've been doing, to know where their boyfriends live so I can go to their house when they're 30 and they start dating. Learning to be discerning. Jesus, we need you so greatly. And we commit our hearts to you now, and we ask you that you would give us this gift, Lord. You said, Lord, that we have not because we ask not. And we're asking this morning, Lord, that what you say is good for us, the gift of discernment, that you would give it to us as a body and to us as individuals that are crying out for it, Lord. We look for your wisdom. We look for your understanding that is so much greater than ours, so that we can properly navigate our way through this crazy fallen world. We bless you, Lord. We thank you for meeting with us and giving us your word this morning. Please receive this song now. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. God bless you.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.